So one of the things I want to try to do today, and we've done in other similar kinds of meetings in different tumor types, is kind of pick an important yet controversial issue and see if we can actually poll the whole group quickly. Just bang, 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 just to sort of see whether you all line up or not. And I mean, maybe I'm not thinking this through quite clearly because you're the first group I've talked to since enzalutamide was approved. But I've got to think, Oliver, that out there is the question of enzalutamide versus abiraterone.
Oh, absolutely. So we have no comparative data.
So how do you approach deciding which one to start first?
Well, first of all, I don't think we know. And anybody who takes a stance that they do know, I'd love to hear their data because I certainly haven't seen it. But that being said, you know, there are certain things that I think might push you a little bit one way or another. If you've got a diabetic, for instance, you may want to avoid the prednisone glucocorticoid issue. If you have a patient with a past history of seizures or dural meds or something like that, you may want to move away from the enzalutamide. But, you know, I think we have very little data right now in order to make a decision. I'd love to hear what others think.
Well, but before we get to the others, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? Do you have any coin flip?
Coin flip.
Coin flip.
Coin flip.
Yep. Okay, Tom.
Well, I think I would, given no data, go with enzalutamide first.
Dan?
Again, given no data, especially since you're trying to sequence some of these drugs, if you believe that corticosteroids may have an abrogatory effect on Cyplosyl-T, I would tend to go with enzalutamide first rather than abiraterone and prednisone. But again, there's no data. There's actually trials that are addressing that issue.
Comparing the two?
Looking at Cyplosyl-T combined with abiraterone and prednisone to see if there's any interaction.
But I'm going to guess there's no enzalutamide versus abiraterone trial, or is there?
There's supposed to be one in CALGB, I believe, that's in the process of being developed, but no, that's...
Sounds like a toughie. Okay, Matt, which one
I have
first?
Temporary respite from this question. I'd say we do have the Cougar 302 data, so I think while we have that data and the longer personal experience with abiraterone acetate, I would prefer to use that first for now in the pre-chemotherapy setting. It's a very transient answer, and we'll await the results of the PREVAIL trial. My expectation is that that study will be remarkably similar to the Cougar 302 trial, although there is a possibility that it would provide some evidence of superiority with all the usual limitations of comparing between trials.
So that's a pre-chemo trial, obviously.
So, yeah, which is a very similar setting to the Cougar 302 trial. So we will have another opportunity to sort of compare the two drugs.
Mario, enzalutamide or abiraterone first?
Enzalutamide, I think clearly it's easier to use. It's less toxic, no need for steroids. I think that patients, as they have less disease, are likely to benefit from this longer, so the longer use of corticosteroids may become an issue. And I think it's also a simpler drug, so that's what I would do. But I would stress again that there's a great opportunity for clinical trials and combine antigen blockades, combine antigen signaling compounds, and I think that that is what we should stress here, especially since there's no consensus here. You know, there may be a consensus which is driven by the comments that we just heard here.
I got to say that it's been kind of disappointing in breast cancer. Combined endocrine therapy has been tried a lot. I mean, a little bit of evidence, not too much. Susan, enzalutamide or abiraterone?
I would do enzalutamide with one caveat. If somebody has already been on bicalutamide and Lupron, their PSA is going up very rapidly, very high-grade disease, I might want to change the category of drugs and go to a completely different class, which would be abiraterone.
Interesting. Bob?
So with all the caveats, enzalutamide, and I also remind us that it ain't cheap anymore. So this is getting to be an economic issue as well, and enzalutamide pricing is higher than abiraterone pricing, and we're going to have issues here.
So William, do you want to weigh in on this debate?
I would probably say enzalutamide, and the reason, of course, is that in situations that we've been in like before, when we have two drugs that appear to be equal, even though they haven't been compared head-to-head, we always usually vote for the one that has less toxicity, and I think that enzalutamide is more favorable.
Again, Tom, when you think about it, I don't see why you're seeing so much toxicity from the steroids. I mean, you're trying to give a physiologic dose, not a therapeutic dose. Why can't you titrate it down to the fact that there's no problem?
Well, you know, unlike, say, thyroid hormones, there's not a ready-made biologic readout that lets you titrate steroids. So you end up titrating to side effects. And we do try. So when we see patients develop obvious side effects, we cut the dose back and hope for the best, but it's a very imprecise art. If I could have one last word on the enzalutamide debate, I do want to say that we're making a lot of assumptions that these drugs and the data we've seen in the context of one another will still perform somehow as we know them to perform. we may one day find out that sequence really matters, and the biology of the tumor drives different outcomes if you do one first and the other. So this question really needs to be answered properly.